Today is the first day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today at another beginning, the second month of the year. So this is our second greeting of a new month of 12. And as has been proven over many years, those of us who make it through this month are likely to make it through the whole year. So let's buckle up and move forward together and do just that. Make it through the whole thing together in community around the global campfire. So on this first day of the second month, we will do what we do every day and pick up where we left off yesterday, which was last month. And in the Old Testament, we are moving our way through the book of Exodus, the children of Israel, and we're pretty clear on who they are now and where they came from, and the fact that we're reading their story, have reached a monumental moment. They have been cast out of Egypt. Their days of slavery seem to be over, and they have moved into the wilderness, where we pick up the story. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 15, verse 18 today. When Pharaoh let the people go, God didn't lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, even though that was the shorter route. God thought, if the people have to fight and face war, they will run back to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the Red Sea desert. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took with him Joseph's bones, just as Joseph had made Israel's sons promise when he said to them, "When God takes care of you, you must carry my bones out of here with you." They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. The Lord went in front of them during the day in a column of cloud to guide them, and at night in a column of lightning to give them light. This way they could travel during the day and at night. The column of cloud during the day and the column of lightning at night never left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and set up camp in front of Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You should set up camp in front of it by the sea. Pharaoh will think to himself, 'The Israelites are lost and confused in the land. The desert has trapped them. I'll make Pharaoh stubborn and he'll chase them. I'll gain honor at the expense of Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.'" And they did exactly that. When Egypt's king was told that the people had run away, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about the people. They said, "What have we done, letting Israel go free from their slavery to us?" So he sent for his chariot and took his army with him. He took 600 elite chariots and all of Egypt's other chariots and captains on all of them. The Lord made Pharaoh, Egypt's king, stubborn, and he chased the Israelites who were leaving confidently. The Egyptians, including all of Pharaoh's horse-drawn chariots, his cavalry, and his army, chased them and caught up with them as they were camped by the sea, by Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh drew closer, the Israelites looked back and saw the Egyptians marching toward them. The Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Weren't there enough graves in Egypt that you took us away to die in the desert? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt like this? Didn't we tell you the same thing in Egypt? Leave us alone. Let us work for the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to work for the Egyptians than to die in the desert." But Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. stand your ground and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never, ever see again. The Lord will fight for you. You just keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to get moving. As for you, lift your shepherd's rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and split it in two, so that the Israelites can go into the sea on dry ground. But me, I'll make the Egyptians stubborn so that they will go in after them, and I'll gain honor at the expense of Pharaoh, all his army, his chariots, and his cavalry. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain honor at the expense of Pharaoh, his chariots, and his cavalry." God's messenger, who had been in front of Israel's camp, moved and went behind them. The column of cloud moved from the front and took its place behind them. It stood between Egypt's camp and Israel's camp. The cloud remained there, and when darkness fell, it lit up the night. They didn't come near each other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord pushed the sea back by a strong east wind all night, turning the sea into dry land. The waters were split into two. The Israelites walked into the sea on dry ground. The waters formed a wall for them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians chased them and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and cavalry. As morning approached, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian camp from the column of lightning and cloud and threw the Egyptian camp into a panic. The Lord jammed their chariot wheels so that they wouldn't turn easily. The Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites, because the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water comes back and covers the Egyptians, their chariots, and their cavalry." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. At daybreak, the sea returned to its normal depth. The Egyptians were driving toward it, and the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the cavalry, Pharaoh's entire army that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. The Israelites, however, walked on dry ground through the sea. The waters formed a wall for them on their right hand and on their left. The Lord rescued Israel from the Egyptians that day. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the amazing power of the Lord against the Egyptians. The people were in awe of the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord for an overflowing victory. Horse and rider he threw into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my power. He has become my salvation. This is my God, whom I will praise, the God of my ancestors, whom I will acclaim. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea. His elite captains were sunk in the Reed Sea. The deep sea covered them. They sank into the deep waters like a stone. Your strong hand, Lord, is dominant in power. Your strong hand, Lord, shatters the enemy. With your great surge, you overthrow your opponents. You send out your hot anger. It burns them up like straw. With the breath of your nostrils, the waters swelled up. The floods surged up in a great wave. The deep waters foamed in the depths of the sea. The enemy said, 'I'll pursue, I'll overtake, I'll divide the spoils of war. I'll be overfilled with them. I'll draw my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered over them. They sank like lead in the towering waters. Who is like you among the gods, Lord? Who is like you, foremost in holiness, worthy of highest praise, doing awesome deeds? You raised your strong hand. Earth swallowed them up. With your great loyalty, you led the people you rescued. With your power, you guided them to your sanctuary. The peoples heard. They shook in terror. Horror grabbed hold of Philistia's inhabitants. Then Edom's tribal chiefs were terrified. Panic grabbed hold of Moab's rulers. All of Canaan's inhabitants melted in fear. Terror and fear came over them because of your great power. They were as still as a stone until your people, Lord, passed by. Until the people you made your own passed by. You brought them in and planted them on your own mountain. The place, Lord, that you made your home. The sanctuary, Lord, that your hand created. The Lord will rule forever and always. Matthew 21, 23 through 46. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching. They asked, "What kind of authority do you have for doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I have a question for you. If you tell me the answer, I'll tell you what kind of authority I have to do these things. Where did John get his authority to baptize? Did he get it from heaven or from humans?" They argued among themselves, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But we can't say from humans, because we're afraid of the crowd, since everyone thinks John was a prophet." Then they replied, "We don't know." Jesus also said to them, "Neither will I tell you what kind of authority I have to do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. Now he came to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' 'No, I don't want to,' he replied. But later he changed his mind and went. The father said the same thing to the other son, who replied, 'Yes, sir.' But he didn't go. Which one of these two did his father's will?" They said, "The first one." Jesus said to them, "I assure you that tax collectors and prostitutes are entering God's kingdom ahead of you. For John came to you on the righteous road, and you didn't believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. Yet even after you saw this, you didn't change your hearts and lives, and you didn't believe him." Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he rented it to tenant farmers and took a trip. When it was time for harvest, he sent his servants to the tenant farmers to collect his fruit. But the tenant farmers grabbed his servants. They beat some of them, and some of them they killed. Some of them they stoned to death. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first group. They treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them. 'They will respect my son,' he said. But when the tenant farmers saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come on, let's kill him, and we'll have his inheritance.' They grabbed him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenant farmers?" They said, he will totally destroy those wicked farmers and rent the vineyard to other tenant farmers who will give him the fruit when it's ready. Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that God's kingdom will be taken away from you and will be given to a people who produce its fruits. Whoever falls on this stone will be crushed, and the stone will crush the person it falls on." Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard the parable, they knew Jesus was talking about them. They were trying to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, who thought he was a prophet. Psalm 26 of David. Establish justice for me, Lord, because I have walked with integrity. I've trusted the Lord without wavering. Examine me, Lord. Put me to the test. Purify my mind and my heart, because your faithful love is right in front of me. I walk in your truth. I don't spend time with people up to no good. I don't keep company with liars. I detest the company of evildoers, and I don't sit with wicked people. I wash my hands. They are innocent. I walk all around your altar, Lord, proclaiming out loud my thanks, declaring all your wonderful deeds. I love the beauty of your house, Lord. I love the place where your glory resides. Don't gather me up with the sinners, taking my life along with violent people in whose hands are evil schemes, whose strong hands are full of bribes. But me? I walk with integrity. Save me. Have mercy on me. My feet now stand on level ground. I will bless the Lord in the great congregation. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven things detestable to him: snobbish eyes, a lying tongue, hands that spill innocent blood, a heart set on wicked plans, feet that run quickly to evil, a false witness who breathes lies, and one who causes conflicts among relatives. Okay, so on this first day of this second month of the year, also known as February, we've encountered a lot of things we could talk about, not the least of which is these things that the Lord hates from the book of Proverbs. I mean, some of them we can go, okay, yeah, I see that, and some of them might land pretty close to where we live, and so it's certainly worth further contemplation. Then we turn backwards into the book of Matthew from our New Testament reading today. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's in the temple complex and he's teaching. And so he's not out in the villages. He is where the elite scholars and scribes and priests are. The clergy, right? Like the ministers, the pastors. They called them different things then, and it was set up in a different order, but people who were leading the spiritual health and well-being of the population, people who were charged with the responsibility of leading people into the truth and revealing God. So for us to understand the context here, Jesus is there. Jesus, God made flesh, And so they're asking Jesus, who gave him permission to do the things that he's doing. Like, by what authority does he have any right to do the things that he is doing? So when we take one step back and look at the situation, we have people who are responsible for the spiritual well-being of the population and to lead them to God. And they're asking God how he has permission or authority to do what he's doing. Jesus just cuts through all of it, says, I have a question myself, and it's about John, right? Was he from heaven, or was his authority from humans? Well, we have read enough of the book of Matthew to know the story of John the Baptist and his coming and his ministry to prepare the way of the Lord. So from our reading, we know that he was ordained and sent by God. But the people who were responsible for leading people into the truth didn't believe he was sent from God, nor did they believe in Jesus, God made flesh. So if they can't answer that question, then there's no point in Jesus trying to explain his authority. It wouldn't matter what he said, they wouldn't believe it. So they had a little side meeting and decided they had to answer they didn't know. And so Jesus said, well, then there you go. You've given the answer. There's nothing that I could say. So I'm not answering your question either. And then he starts telling a story, which he often does, a parable. And we could look at it and feel like he just dismisses the scribes and Pharisees, etc. And he turns back to a crowd and starts telling a story and continues to teach. But he's giving an illustration that is really important and one that exposes the religious power of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So as the story goes, there's two sons, and a father comes to each of them. He comes to his firstborn son and says, I need you to go work in the vineyard. And the son says, he just rebels against his father. I'm not going to do that. But then he thinks it over and he obeys his father. The father goes to the second son and says, I need you to help in the vineyard today. And the son is like, absolutely, Dad, I'll go right now. But then he doesn't go. And Jesus' question after the story is, which one did the will of the father? And the religious leaders answered that the first one had done the will of the father. So the first one said he wasn't going to obey, but then did obey. The second one said he would obey, but then didn't obey. So both of the sons said things that were incorrect. Talk is cheap. The one who actually got up and instructed his body to get up and get moving and obey, the one that put the instruction into action and lived it, is the one who did the will of the Father. This is a fundamental thing that Jesus continually spoke of when he was interacting with the religious leaders. And underneath it all, it's lip service isn't going to cut it, right? Just saying it. You can say anything. It's what you do that reveals your heart and character. And Jesus sums it up saying, I assure you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering God's kingdom ahead of you. And so to boil it down, we have something very important to our lives. Because we wear all kinds of masks, and we may adjust our personality into any given situation. We can become whatever we need to become. We can say whatever we need to say. But there is a character and a posture of heart that will eventually reveal what's going on, because our actions say much more than our words. And when our words and deeds are in alignment, there is great peace and freedom there, because we're not pretending to be anything but what we are. In another passage that we will encounter, Jesus unpacks it by saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Certainly, this can be very, very difficult and challenging in the culture that we live in the world, where nuance and spin are everywhere. But what Jesus is doing here is giving us permission to be true. And that is a vital thing to learn on this faith journey. And then we flip back into the book of Exodus. The children of Israel have moved into the wilderness and they're camped by the sea. The Egyptians are kind of getting their wits about them after the devastation that has happened to Egypt, culminating with the death of the firstborn throughout all of Egypt. They start asking themselves, what do we do by letting them go? Because the repercussions aren't just that they let a bunch of people leave the territory of Egypt. The repercussions were that the entire society, the entire economy, like everything is built on having this slave labor. And so Pharaoh, one more time, decides, I'm not letting them go. Let's go get them. And they do. They go. Children of Israel, 600,000 people on foot plus children, so like 1 million people, and all of the livestock, like a moving city, a good sized moving city, are camped by the waters when they hear the rumble in the distance, and probably a fairly large dust cloud indicating that an army is coming, and they see the Egyptians and they freak out. Moses, why didn't you just leave us alone? We were better off being slaves to the Egyptians. We told you just leave us alone. It would have been better to be a slave than to be dead here in the desert. So they're grumbling. And they're going to grumble the whole time. There's a lot of grumbling in front of us. But it's a mirror. If we can remember this, it's a mirror. We have an awful lot of grumbling in our lives too. Which is not to say that that wouldn't be a terrible and terrifying circumstance. Here behind you, you have the sea. And in front of you, you have an army approaching you. You don't have anywhere to go. You're in the middle of the wilderness. You're not even going to be able to hide. But let's let that be a mirror for a second. Because there are times in life where we feel pretty well boxed in, right? There's no way to go. There's nowhere to move. The sea is behind us and the enemy army is racing toward us. And we're totally freaked out and panicking. What God said to them, He says to us through the scriptures. And it might be what we really need to hear when we're in panic mode. God said, don't be afraid. Stand your ground and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never ever see again. The Lord will fight for you. You just keep still. And so, Father, we invite you into that. That sounds wonderful. It is actually much more hard to do, to simply be still and trust instead of getting frantic and trying to do something to fix the situation. Sometimes our fixing of the situation is to dig the hole deeper and make it more impossible. When to trust you, to listen and obey and keep still may be what we need to hear. And so come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It's the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. And so certainly check it out and stay up to date. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can check everything out from there. So check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a lot of resources in there that have been developed over the years to draw this journey deeper and wider. Things to write in, things to write with, things to read, things to listen to. Promised Land, photographs from the land of the Bible is available. Brand new coffee table edition that allows us to kind of look into some of the places that we are visiting as we move through the stories of the Bible. That is a fantastic resource. The God of Your Story, which is a 365-day dated journey through the scriptures, just like what we're doing here every day. That is a way to take the journey deeper. So there are plenty of resources available for that, taking the journey deeper in the Daily Audio Bible shops. Check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. I thank you humbly. If the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered to whoever will listen to it anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm, if that is meaningful to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello there. My name is Dave. I'm from the UK, a small market town between England and Wales. Just asking for prayer covering. I've got three kids. I'm married 20 odd years. I've got got twin boys of 18. One lad has special needs all his life. He's a wheelchair user. He has cerebral palsy, but he's in an awful amount of pain at the moment, and the amount of drugs that we're giving him to try to provide some sort of normality of life. He has around about 3 hours, 4 hours tops of sleep, and the rest of the time he's in pain and he's crying, and there's nothing I can do. We're taking him to the specialists, and we can't seem to stop the pain. I'm just praying for healing, praying for endurance, and pray that he doesn't lose his connection and faith with God, because obviously after 18 years of continuous pain, it wears you down. My other son, last year, developed, never had it before, but he's developed having seizures and tics. And he was a county level 400 meter hurdler, and he was extremely fit, and now he has around about 25 to 35 seizures a week. And as you can imagine, the whole world has stopped and turned upside down and flipped. Just pray for my family, pray for me so I can lead them. Patience and perseverance. Just pray. Thank you.
Hello, DAB family. This is Sarah from London. It's the 26th of January at 6:48 p.m. I just thought I'd send something quick because it was such a profound moment for me this morning, actually. And from Brian's reading, and it was the part that when God instructs Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the people go, and Moses asks God, who should he say sent him? Then God said to Moses that he should tell Pharaoh that I am who I am sent you. Like, wow, I am. And that actually gave me chills. It just literally woke me up, gave me chills. And it just makes me realize how powerful God is. Even though I know that, even though we know that, we have a God that does not have to explain himself because of who he is. And that did hit me in a very different way today, because it just shows how powerful, amazing, all-knowing God we serve. And he never changes. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And although life has its challenges, we go through difficulties, ups and downs, just so much trauma can happen in our lives, but we must not forget that, you know, that God will never let us down. You know, he's always there for us. And let's be encouraged, because the God that we serve is just so amazing, and he really, really loves us. So I just thought I'd send something short, but it just shows how just great our God is. So let's be encouraged, and I love you all.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Irene, and I wanted to call in and ask for prayer with a really different kind of a prayer, but I hope I can make it clear. I used to have really, really bad anxiety, and my parents told me that at the end of the day, no matter how many therapists and whatever you can go to, which I've actually never been to a therapist, God is the ultimate being that can take your anxiety away, and you need to learn to surrender your anxiety to Christ. I've been doing that for probably the last 3 years. I've just, you know, come up with this phrase, Lord, I surrender my anxiety to you. Anytime an intrusive thought comes in, that's what I've done. But I feel like I'm taking God's grace and his kindness and his mercy on me for granted. You know, when you're so anxious and that anxiety is going away and it's barely there, or you just feel it going away, you're so thankful. You know, sometimes I would cry, like thanking God that I was so happy it was going away. But now that that really bad anxiety hasn't been around for a while, I feel like I'm becoming one of the 9 lepers that took God's or Jesus's healing and just jumped and leaped and ran away and never came back to say thank you. And that one leper that is noted in scripture came back and he, you know, he thanked Jesus. And I just really want prayer about my heart, and that I would come to Jesus thanking him like that leper. I don't think I do that enough, and I want to have a much more grateful heart towards God. I know that I take his love for granted, and I just need prayer. I hope that makes sense, and I hope you have a great day.
Hey, DAB, it's Refined by the Fire in Ohio. Hey, this reading today, Brian, I always know when my mind wants to race through what it is you're saying. I know that I need to slow down, possibly back it up, listen to it again, and then my whole entire fleshly being is screaming like, no, you got things to do. There's, you know, things that are more fun, sparkly, shiny squirrel out the window. Man, but I knew that I should do that. And when you were talking about just how sad it is that Moses was given this great opportunity and he's like, send somebody else. And man, that just nailed me today, because I have been avoiding, procrastinating. I have just been, send somebody else, God, with the situation. And you know what? I'm going to stop right now. I'm going to make the phone call that I need to make and arrange the appointment I need to go see somebody. So thank you for being willing to listen to the Spirit and to share that with us. And thank God for the Spirit, and how he works is such a gift. It's just amazing. So thanks, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Talk to you soon.
Good morning. This is Caleb from West Virginia. I've been a listener for several years, but this is my first time calling in. Brian, I just wanted to let you know what a tremendous blessing your ministry is to me. You've been there through the birth of my children. You've been there through the death of my father. You've been there through major transitions in my life. through all of the chaos, I always knew that every day I could listen to the word of God read around the global campfire. And I'm so thankful for you, Brian, for your family, for your ministry, and for the DAB community.